Hey guys, it's Casual Thursday, and that means it's Medium Nancy Matt's Thursday. And the big question today is, do you have memories of a past life in a foreign country? We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Thursday. I hope everybody's had a great week. Tomorrow's Friday. And we're going to slide into the weekend really well. I think you all said yes. Yes to that answer. Let me push my buttons here. I got a couple important announcements to make. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. Okay. I also own the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team. If you need or you think you have a paranormal need, look us up on Facebook and look us up on TikTok and everywhere else. We're everywhere on the web. Just Google us in with California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team. All right. Beware of the chicken. Suddenly everybody got quiet. What do you mean, Charlotte? What do you mean beware of the chicken? In the last 4 days, the chicken dance. When I'm over on TikTok, the chicken dance has popped up in my feed. 3 times in 4 days. That tells me it's coming back on trend. Okay? We all know about the chicken dance. We all know how that gets stuck in your head. It's like going, it's a small world at Disneyland, and all you can hear is that, right? So I've been going through hell the last 4 days, because that keeps popping up on my feed. If it's trending over at TikTok, it's going to make its way over to YouTube. It's going to make its way over to Facebook and Instagram. Just FYI and be ready, because the chicken dance is coming your way. And I have seen this over the years. I have seen this in maybe 10, 15 different versions, right? You've got the live actor version doing the dancing. You got the guys that are dressed in traditional Mexican cowboy clothes, you know, doing that dance. You got the hamsters. Sometimes it's even hamsters, right? But you got the boy, it boils down to kids doing it, people in chicken costumes. I mean, it's just endless, right? So you guys know what it's like. Once it gets in your head, it's just, that's all I've heard all day in my head is the chicken dance. So like I said, I just want to put a warning out there. It's trending over on TikTok, so it's coming your way. So just be prepared. Okay, that being said, if you're watching from Facebook, and a lot of you are, please feel free to hit that follow button if you haven't done so already, if you like what you hear tonight. Same thing goes for YouTube. Please hit that subscribe button and share. Share this show across. Share it everywhere, because we're trying to get the word out. That's what we're trying to do. And show us some love. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a happy face or two. That would be really great. The other announcement I made today, and I'm real excited about this, is I finally, after working on TikTok, I've been working nights over on TikTok, doing extra shows to get some attention and garner some attention. I have finally gotten an agent. I finally got an agent on TikTok, and they're going to be helping me do all kinds of things. In fact, not only all kinds of things, which sounds bad, all kinds of things. You know, they're going to be helping me put on a bit of show, you know, and do this other stuff over there. And also, you know, they're going to be able to, hopefully, I'll be able to get what they call a TikTok key, because I need this key. And I want to be broadcasting on TikTok. I've always wanted to do that. You know, there's a huge audience availability over there. And I haven't had that broadcast key. And so hopefully these people, my agent, will help me get this broadcast key. And if you remember when we were doing, and I can't remember which book it was way back. I got to go a little brighter here. Hang on. Bear with me. I pushed the wrong button. Yikes. Okay. I want to go a little brighter. There we go. If you remember a year back when we first started reading books online, probably the third book that I was into, I got banned a couple of times over there. And, you know, once you get banned and you appeal like that, you end up gone for anywhere from five to 10 days over there. And so with this agent that I have now, when I do get banned, they file the appeal, and usually they can get you right back on the air. So that's all going to change. So you're going to see some changes. And again, I've been talking about, you know, prices going up on stuff. We are going to be moving to Restream. So, I don't think you're going to see anything different really with being on the air. I think, but Restream, I do believe, will do it in 1080p. So it's going to be, or 4K. So it's going to be, really clear over there. Really, really clear. So we're going to be moving to Restream. And it's going to happen next couple of weeks. We'll be doing that. And like I said, if I get that TikTok key, I will be able to beam us over to TikTok and do our regular Facebook and YouTube show at the same time. So I'm really excited about that. Really, I'm really jazzed. So there's positive things happening out there for us for the show. And it's just taken a long time, And that's what one warning that there was out there with when I first started doing this was some people it happens within a few days. Some, sometimes it happens within a year. With us, it's taken a while. So it's just a slow process and being patient and stuff and trying to pay the bills and all that good stuff. Okay, that being said, I'm done talking and Nancy Matz is waiting. She is coming on tonight because I have two guests on tomorrow and I'll explain it at the end of the show who's coming on and why. But those two guests that I'm having on tomorrow, I want to treat them really well because they're going to figure I'm going to try and get them to help me out with stories for our ghost stories by the fireside, okay? Or by the campfire. I'm making the change on that too. And they're going to have some really cool stories about that. They're, it's Marianne, Rob, and Dave Rich are going to be on with us tomorrow, talking about UFOs and law enforcement, and how they've put together a group to help law enforcement officers, take reports of UFOs and all that good stuff. So that's going to figure, prominently into that other show I want to do every other Saturday night. Okay, so let's bring Nancy in. Let's get into this. We're going to be talking past lives. And have you been in a foreign country? And I kind of have a story about that, but it's not quite a past life thing. But I have a little bit of a story about that an experience that I had when I was over in England. Okay, all right. Well, let me bring her in, and here we go.
And now you say that you should start out with that story. That's very cool.
I had to warn about the chicken dance.
Yeah, kind of. I don't have any idea what that is. You should let it float out there. Tell us a
I'm going to
story of
send it to
England.
you. No, I'm going to send it to you.
Fine.
So you too can be a victim of the chicken dance. You haven't lived till you've seen, till you had to deal with that in your head.
Okay. I can get it. Tell us about
We
England
traveled.
before we start.
We traveled to Europe twice, my family and I. First time we went, I was around 10. The second time we went, I was coming into my teens. And the second time we were at Heathrow, I don't know. Maybe it was France. We were at the airport in France, but waiting to go back to England. And I saw myself.
Ooh, doppelganger.
Yeah. I saw myself in the you know how you have like the different gates right at the airport? I saw myself in the gate that was across from us, sitting with the family,
Oh my
and it was
goodness.
me. And I thought it was, I wasn't into this, even though I had psychic abilities, but I wasn't into what I'm doing now, right, with the paranormal part of it, investigating. But I distinctly remember seeing myself sitting there with my family, or the family that I had at that time over there. So it's kind of like this, and it's kind of not like this, but that was my experience that I saw my doppelganger.
For years and years and years, when I was an athlete, horses and running, even in the 70s, I've always been busy. And even though I have my hair longer now, my hair was particularly very short for decades. That's because if you're running or you're active and raising children, moms are busy. And I would
Right.
keep it really short. And I think I always wore glasses. Now I have different set of issues with glasses. I've always been really thin, except for this past 10 years, 7, 8 years. Everybody gets a little thicker when we get older. And a number of people that would walk up to me and said they saw me somewhere else. And I always wondered if it was because my hair is so dark and it's short, but I had people swear left and right they always saw me somewhere else. And I can't address that. I just don't know. I do have a friend. This is off track, everybody, but it's always fun. I have a friend that claims she saw me at a shopping mall and I wasn't
Okay.
there. So, I mean, slim, brown hair, short hair. I mean, how many people like this are out there? I did a session, it was on, excuse me, you can tell I'm thinking this is off the cuff. I do have a client touch base with me I think we did a video. If you hear this, let me know because I can't remember clearly. And he has an aunt that looks exactly like me. And I thought, how interesting. Like, how many look like me? Well, I have deep set, dark eyes and hair. And up to the last 5 years, I was always very slim. So I think as a generalization, but at the same time, too many times I've been, it was sworn, you know. I kind of wondered, because I do this readings all around the world and all, why can't my spirit just arbitrarily leave? And I'll give you an example. I'm a thrift store nut. I enjoy what they call therapy shopping. And I call it breaking the energy also. Like if I have a real busy day, sometimes I'll just run to the store and just walk around. And when I lived in, oh, where was it? Well, particularly in the Watt Avenue area, we all need things once in a while. And I would actually be told where to go, what store, whether it's for the thrift store or not. And 9 out of 10 times, what I was needing, I would find at that store. And I remember telling people, where, even now I talk to people about this, what, how are we finding these things? And how do we know where to shop? And I think we leave our body. So, I'm a looky-loo. I love the malls and just to walk around. I'm not a great shopper. Don't need anything. As my mother said, if you give me a gift for Christmas, I'm going to have to throw something out. So, I'd accept it. And we got people in the room. Hello, Jerry and Pamela. But anyway, this is a topic that I thought I could really dig my teeth into, only because I do enjoy the past life stories. But when you sit down, because I haven't kept track of all those stories, I think, oh my gosh. So I spent a lot of time with a couple of stories of myself, but a lot that I found on the last day. So I hope it you all find it interesting. For you on RSS feed, this is nancymatz.com, MATZ. And of course, my YouTube channel is Nancy Matz Psychic. Shar and I are real busy learning more and more and more about YouTube development. And so I'm getting to where I'm getting more comfortable. I have lots over there, and all of Shar's shows I've moved over. She'll get the credit if you'll watch them at my channel. Just FYI. Okay, so I'm going to bring up some ideas to get you thinking about it. Watching TV, we've had TV and movies out with adventures, travel logs, history, ghost investigations, and so on. And over the years, two or three times, I've heard people say, I was watching and I felt like I knew where they were going to go. I would like to present that thought to you. How many, this happened to me, the reason I bring it up, I was watching a 007 movie. And they were in the car going, vroom, 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 and I knew where that was. I think it was Monaco. And I'd never traveled, nor do I plan to ever get a plane to travel the Atlantic Ocean. It's like, don't put mom on a plane. You don't want to know what's going to happen. And here I was watching the 007 movie, and I remember thinking it didn't look quite like that when I was there. Memory popped in. And so tonight I'm going to bring you a couple ideas of what you could experience. Even watching a newscast around the world now, people will, you'll have a sense that you've been there before. And why am I bringing it up, and why is it important? I am a firm believer that my journey on this life is not only to help people survive their life, but to make you realize that there isn't an end to it. We do continue. And by bringing up this thought of past lives, memories, watching a movie, a TV show, someone else talking about it, go, I've been there. And I find it curious that a daughter, all she can think about is going to Italy. She's never been to Italy. She's already been there, a couple of times at parts of the world, but over and over. And I think clearly that is a past life. She has to go back. Well, that's amazing, right? Because I've done this so long, I've talked to Shar and we've talked to other people about it. You cannot be around me every day, every week, talk to me as often as people have without kind of catching on and wanting to tune in and do it yourself. And I've done it for so long that I'm now not a victim of my gift, but a recipient of unsolicited memories, past and future, having things to do. And sometime in the future, I do see me moving again. And I keep getting flashes of it. And I think, I've asked Char, I said, don't answer Char. When is this going to happen? I want to be done. I have so many books. I'm writing two now, everybody. So you got to keep on that channel so I can talk to you about it and my own development, my own show. And so I get these flashes of the future and almost always in the past. And one of them was something unpleasant. I thought to myself, well, I was born in 48, 3 years after the war. And you think about the people that what called baby boomers from around the world. A lot of children were born afterward to replace the unfortunate kids that were killed. But a lot of us are returnees. And I have had a vision many times, and this is something I want to bring up, how it can interfere with you. Can it give you stress? I'm a young man, and I'm very thin. And I have a kind of a gray, blue, nondescript outfit on. And it's very large. But in my hand, I have something that looks like a rifle, whether it's a stick resembling a rifle or not. And it's almost like it's too heavy for me. It's like I'm dragging it. So I might be 15 to 16 years old, but I'm in the concentration camp. And I remember thinking, sorry, I remember thinking at the time that I didn't want this responsibility. So if it was a rifle, then my mind is blocking it. So in the concentration camps, if someone has memories, did they pull out some of the prisoners to keep track? Was some of them assigned? And I, like I said, I don't know how tall I was, but I wasn't a small person. I was a bigger kid. I was very, very slim, but I had this gun, and the uniform again was a, it was blue, but it was a, not a medium to darker. It was a medium to lighter, deep, denser color, kind of a gray with some blue in it. And there are websites, organizations, I think there's one or two on Facebook of those who have memories of the concentration camps. So if you do, there are avenues for you to do that. And I find that curious. And I didn't on purpose try to find that, but I saw an interview and these people did create, there were women talking. And I don't know if I saw on TV or, but I know you can find these organizations. Would I want to join? You know, at the moment I have the memory, it's not finished. I don't get more than that. A lot of times I'll get flashes like a reading and it's like 2 or 3 seconds. And I go, wait a minute, pull it back. And at the end here, I hope to give you, if we don't run out of time, how to network yourself into that to pull it back. And make sure that if you do that, you understand what you may have happened is get more of the story. And that could be not terrible or uncomfortable, but I've had people say, and my husband, I, and my sister, my sister is the one that brought it. My husband confirmed, and I sit here going, oh, okay. My sister said that she died at Gettysburg. Well, just happens my husband thought so too. And then they said, well, Nancy, we saw you there too. And I go, okay, it's not a privilege. I'm not getting that. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means it's important to them to remember it. What's curious is my sister and my husband have huge moles on their body. I don't know if she had it removed, but, you know, she has hair here. My husband does not. But decades, he has this great big mole around the same side of the head, both on the right side, right here. Where I had a big mole and I had to have it replaced, removed, it was the size of a nickel, almost to a quarter, right in the middle of my chest. And the docs, you know, let's take that out. Okay, you know, oh, was it a past life? Later on, I would say. Well, in some ways, I guess, I will accept that. I will never ever disagree with anybody if they catch something like that. And curiously enough, I am attracted to Gettysburg and I would like to go there. But I've been saved from the remembrance of being shot. Where Bonnie, my sister, and my husband both remember that. And we have another story. And like I said, Larry and I have been married 21 years now. We dated for a year before we got married. You can't live with me every day without it developing more and more within him. So we have had a lot of experiences and past life is part of it. So I want to back up and start from the beginning. Like, have you watched a TV or movie and you know what is around the corner? Like I said to seven of all movies, right? I mean, how many action movies are there? Well, I got really involved with 007. I thought that was really good series. And something about the visual, you're watching it and you want to go to it, or it brings you distress and there's nothing to be stressed about, or longing to travel there. How about Mamma Mia? How many have watched that wonderful? It's been out for years, and the last one had Cher, Sonny and Cher, as the grandmother show up. But the beautiful terrain, the friendliness of the peoples, you want to go there. What a wonderful place to take a vacation if you could get there. Well, that longing, or maybe my son likes Baja. They have some resorts at the end. He's been there two or three times where you sit at the bar in the water, kind of a thing. How beautiful a trip is it, right? And so when you watch a movie that has these beautiful landscapes, do you feel like you've been there or you need to go there? I personally have never felt that, but yet maybe it's not allowed to be shown to me because of something that happened. How many lives can we have? Evidently, and I will share this, as many as you as a soul want. There is no limit. The unexplained of wanting to be there, or jarring you and you're caught off guard and looking around the room as if you're with others, wondering if they witnessed your shock of remembrance. And that has happened a lot with a lot of people. They call me or have a session. By the way, something strange happened to me the other day. I go, or last week or month. I knew I was calling you. We were going to talk, and I want to explain this to you. And I have a, and by the way, Texas girl, I will call you. I have a young lady, a wonderful girl. She's writing, and I've encouraged her. I've given her tips on how to. I've always sent her emails. This is what you do next because she's brand new at writing. And she's going to write gothic romance, a gothic meaning European, Scotland, 12th, 13th, 14th century. So gothic is, I don't think it's the right word. And she's just absolutely pulled to that. Dragons and horse, men on horses and everything. And she feels a castle. She feels a romance. And I so with my heart know that she have life there. It's overwhelming her wanting. In fact, we talked about her setting up her typing area. She may be listening to, I don't want to say her name, but she knows who I'm talking about. She set up her office area to resemble the ambiance of that era because she's so comfortable in it. And so now she can remember her life and put it in a book. And wonderful. I just get so excited. My girls start writing, my gentlemen, because all my life I've never thought I'd be a writer, and I got into it. And I tell you, if you want some thrills, write a book. It's one for me. It's super exciting. And then I want to bring up the idea that timelines can happen at the same time. I do believe in parallel universes and multiple dimensions. And I mentioned once before that Stephen Hawking, one of the last articles he wrote with his assistant, was a magazine article that I read. It was addressed multiple dimensions and parallel universes, and it was a black and white picture of him in the front with multiple Earths behind it. The multitude's unbelievable. So with that, he believes that every time you make a choice, it would create itself. The thing I present is I see time, unused time, not always used time behind unused time. It's like a slinky. It's like one March could be the next March. We don't know what March it could be, but it like a slinky. You know how you see it slipping. That make a strange noise, RSS people, like a slinky going down a staircase. They are piled on top of each other. I do believe the past is the same way. It is on top of each other in layers. So you can, in a moment of relaxation, ask to be shown a past life that of an interest for you. You get to say, you know, in the Grecian times, I would like to know if I had a past life. Find a picture of seeing if you want to be in that lifetime. But was I there? If you get something, fine. If you don't, fine. And that's very exciting because we're so close to the time we lived. And I shared with you a few months back, a month back or so, that I have a client whose brother died unexpectedly. And he was a very big fan of Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp. And the sister said to me, What's he doing now? And I go, oh, he says he's in the Mediterranean on a pirate ship, just like Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean. And she goes, well, you're wrong. And I go, okay. I can only tell you what I'm picking up. I have no idea what it means. And come to find out, she called the son. And the son said, oh, Auntie, did you know the basement's full of pirate ships he's building and pirate, the poster boards from the movies, Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean. And I want to share this with you because it's an important thought. What the man said was, and I asked him one day, the next month, she says, what is he doing now? Oh, he's on the ship. Oh, he's on the ship. And the brother said to me, I don't like this life. It took me 2 months, because we talk once a month, for me to figure that out. What are you talking about? He went back and is reliving that life. Now, is he a spirit attachment, or is he possessing that person? Or was that life always meant to be lived by the soul after this life ended? He went back in time. Remember, it's folded on top of each other, like a deck of cards. All he did was travel back in time, like a split second. And she says to me, well, if that person had a life, are we going to have to wait 30, 40 years for him to come back? I says, the life has already ended. He started, it's already gone, because time has traveled forward. He went back, he's experienced that life, now he's come forward. So as a man of today, before he had this event that took his life, he probably saw the movie, felt it, longed for it, dreamt it up, recreated it in his own world. How many men, wives, mostly women watch this show. If you're a gentleman out there, what hobbies do you have? I've known a lot of men who like planes, biplanes, all the planes of World War II, the first planes of the Second World War, all those exciting, not exciting, but those planes that were probably thrilling to fly, or all the in between. How many are plane builders? And where did that interest come from? Probably a remembrance, probably a longing. How many times have you had dreams of being somewhere romantically and you've never traveled there before, women? How many times? You think it's your imagination? I don't think so. How many of you, someone's thinking something. I do this, don't, someone's thinking of me watching or something. And so the energy of that person's coming to me. And so I can pick it up. Someone's thinking about it. Well, I won't. I disappeared. I don't know if anybody heard of me. A jungle. Look, is someone in Mexico? Are they down in Baja? Or was this in Asia somewhere? Philippines, where there's a lot of vegetation? Was someone in a war with a lot of vegetation? All of a sudden, I was flooded with the look of a forest, not like we
Okay.
would know at the Redwoods.
Quick. Jerry says that I died in Vietnam.
Okay, so what I she was watching, see how this works. Thank you. Well, Jerry, that'd be curious to talk about. So if she has had visuals of Vietnam, now she is watching me. I can't see her. I can't even see the chat room because I have my notes here in front of me. So she says, oh, I remember I got killed in Vietnam in the forest. Well, guess what I saw? I said, someone's having had a life in the forest. And I said, Asia. I said, those kinds of, not like the redwoods, everybody, but forested areas like you'd see in Mexico and Asia. So she died in Vietnam. That's exactly what I saw. That's amazing. I love that. I hope I didn't scare anybody with that. Thank you, Jerry, for being honest. So timelines happen at this kind of like a deck of cards behind us. And a slinky ahead of us, slinky meaning unused to me. This is how I feel it. And behind us, like the film of a movie, it just piles on top of each other. Flap, 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 flap. Okay. So if that happens, then access to the past would be very easy. So when I do past life regression, somebody, I direct them to think of a situation they would like to explore. That period of time that is brought forward. And I use the, some people use corridors, some people do steps. I use a door with a glass pane in the middle. And so the environment disappears and they're sitting in a chair, and all of a sudden a door appears in front of them. The door could look any way you like it. You know, mine looks like a regular front door, but it has a big piece of glass in the center, so you look through it. And what I do by that is we don't know what you're going to see. What if you're somebody like Marie Antoinette and you get your hair lopped off? You don't want to experience that firsthand. You don't want to be in that visual. So I bring you up to the glass, and then I have you put your hands on the glass or touch the glass on the shed to praise yourself. You can look through there. You could be a witness to something you need to know. Or if you feel really comfortable because of what you're seeing, you get that knob, you open it up, and you can go right through. That is your choice. That is a safety mechanism to prove to us that we have control. And so I find that very satisfying way to do a past life regression. Anybody out there, go ahead and borrow my idea. It's no secret, right? And that way we do have control always on doing the visual and accessing. So if you do sit down and you're relaxed in a chair, you know, put your feet up, put your head back, just relax and say, I really enjoy Holland. The idea of all the waterways, to live on a boat. Did I ever have a life there? I'm just going to relax and allow my mind to find an answer. See if something comes up. Maybe in this lifetime, you saw a movie when you were a kid and it just enthralled. You're so excited. Oh my gosh, how look at how fun is that? I would like to try that sometime. Well, then maybe you didn't have a life, but it's still a yearning. Until you do that, you won't know. Okay. And so sometimes we have to realize that if time is in the past, folded on each other, all those lives, all those situations bump into each life, and we have to work it out. How many of you had relationships with people and you just know you've known them before? Oh my gosh. I was a single 15 years. Ask me if I didn't have that feeling. Whew, got out of some tight ones here. Right? And so you may say, oh, this person feels so familiar to me. It feels like I've known this person before. You have a great relationship. Or reverse it. Oh, I feel like I've really known this person. It feels like I should, maybe we should get to know each other. And then in the process, you go, whoops, I have felt this situation before. Now I'm going to end the trauma of that life by ending this relationship and where you have gone on. Because I do believe, and this is a topic I covered with Karen Rossi, and we're going to do a book on ghosts, is that it's very possible that you could have an emotional being follow you through time until you reincarnate together. Say 10 relationship, 10 lifetimes back. You have a relationship that needs to be played out again. That being can stay with you, not interfere with you, but be part of your circle until you have a life where you end it and then you go to spirit and then you have another life. What if you don't fix that relationship? What if we could go back to a lifetime of that situation and settle it there? And you can go back and you could say you have a relationship, man or woman, it doesn't matter to me, or your comrade in arms, and it's not a good relationship, it ends badly. You can go back and ask forgiveness. Pooh. When you feel settled and you feel sought as though you have made progress, then that soul doesn't have to follow you to have that life over again. I think the complexities of the universe is so bizarre and so exciting that when I see things like this, it almost makes my head, I call it twirling my head around. And this is an example. Years ago, and Karen Rossi are putting these all in a book. I'm putting them in the book. She's going to add information because some of these were her clients. And I saw a woman with an alien on her back. Please, really, I don't even want to talk about that. And I had to. And what this alien looked like is the reason I talked to Karen just this past week. And it was a movie on, so I don't like a lot of stress. So a lot of times, movies I watch are very easy to listen to or watch because they're kind of like on the background. And TV's not even on most of the time, but there was a Disney movie coming out. And these are darling little kids dressing up, and it's a Disney presentation. And it's on the fairy tale town of Cinderella. And then they have an island where the kids who have the negative fairy tale story is on that side. So the development of Red, call it Red, the Descendants. And one of the characters is a woman who lives in the ocean. And when she's out of the ocean, the tentacles of an octopus come out her back. It was a darling. The shows are done very well. The kids are dressed up and they get to sing and dance. As a grandma, I think about my kids and I think, oh, wouldn't that be, I visualize my granddaughters. They're so cute. They like the little tutu dresses. Both of them are so feminine. And these little kids are just darling. Well, it's easy for me to watch it because it's music, it's in the background. So when this woman came out of the water and she had this octopus come out of her back, the tentacles come out, I almost had a heart attack. I went, oh my God, that looks like the thing I saw in this lady. Ring, ring, ring. Karen, you won't believe what I just saw. So the alien that I looked at was not an octopus. This was a living, not living, it had been living on a planet. The octopus tentacles are very thick, where the idea was that. And what we talked about was that octopus was attached to his mate. And that octopus mate decided to have a human life without all the tentacles, come back and only had two arms, two legs. So this woman, I wish I could talk to her, and I wish I could say things like, I know you must feel out of place, out of time. You just don't feel like you fit here on this planet. She would say, yes, you're correct. How many, okay, audience, listen to this. How many of you feel like out of place, out of time, and you don't fit in, right? Well, if I talk to my husband, he'd rather be in the West, old West. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come up later on if we have time. Maybe we'll have to make this a part two. And so some people really identify with particular areas, eras. And even though a lot of men may not have gone through World War II, they are alive now and will only watch war movies. Well, guess what? They were probably there. Okay. Mm-hmm. The interest of who we are and what we like sometimes plays out in the lifetime interest. Remember, I brought that up earlier. So mm-hmm. this woman was from a planet and her partner decided to attach to her back all this lifetime to not leave her alone. And Karen and I just, holy tomatoes, you know, how many times does that happen? How many planetoids are there? How many planets, solar systems have people, well, Carl Sagan said, billions of people out there, planets with people on them. Absolutely. So this lady, dark hair, very attractive, you know, just mid-30-ish looking. When I saw her, I almost had a heart attack because these pentacles were coming out of her back. And then talking to Karen, we kind of got to a place where I can sense, excuse me, but you can see when I'm going to that visual again. And I felt like I was looking at someone who had a very recent life as a, some other creature. And it was struggling in this lifetime to assimilate to a different physical form. Oh my gosh, just ponder that for a minute. So if you feel out of place, out of time, you don't know why you feel like you should be here. For me, I struggle in this lifetime. I've had a lot of medical, as far, you know, Char and I have talked about some things. I feel like I'm living in the old West. Well, they didn't have penicillin or anything. And I see, and I am always inventing things in my head and thinking to myself, why don't they know better? Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Like I could talk about things, how healing is done through chart. And I had a conversation about, or was it you, not, on the energy of our body is a pattern. If your pattern is disrupted, your body cannot work well. So that's vibration. And so I believe that in the future, we can vibrate our body into a pattern that promotes healing. Why didn't just someone think of that? I've been thinking about this for years. No, I'm not one that does the bowls or the light. You know, I'm not, I'm just an engineering supervisor of Pacific Belt. That's how I think. And Mike, especially was manholes and conduit. I loved it, and area wires, and you know, I just kind of that way. And I'm always mm-hmm. thinking about things. I feel like I need to be in an era where I could do the inventing. So I'm probably was in the future. I saw this woman, and I said, "Oh my gosh, look at her! She started out this way. I like that. But look what she got into. That looked like an interesting life. I think I'll do it." Sometime mm-hmm. in the future, someone's living in this body, enjoying what I'm doing for a living, because I love talking to people and I'm not a natural talker. This is a struggle all the time. How exciting to be able to think about things like this. So someone's enjoying this lifetime. I mean, the soul of Nancy. Let me twirl your heads around, everybody. Can you follow me? So I do believe that this is possible, that we go through lifetimes in the past. We have a life here. We can also flitter in the future, but we were talking about the past. So we're talking about child prodigies. And we're talking about going into a lifetime in the past in different locations. Yes, this also applies exactly to every, if you have 10 lifetimes here in America, absolutely. But sometimes our struggle of 007, in fact, it almost makes me think it was kind of like the same area where Princess Grace went over the cliff. 007, it looked like the same area. That was weird. Okay, got another flash, right? Saw it again. It's easy to, once you do this for 33 years, it's easy kind of keep slipping into the what you've got before. And so when we do this and we go and we get from different locations, I think that the excitement of going from one culture to another keeps us interested in that other culture. And you may not even realize the interest. Like I said, Monaco for me. What's there? I don't know. I don't remember. Excuse me. I don't remember today, but I did in the past because that's the visual I got. And tonight I was thinking about it just as we're talking, and all of a sudden I saw Princess Grace. So clearly I was alive when she passed away. So there you are. The other thing that can happen is child prodigies, and they are becoming more abundant. I do believe that we're having a faster turnaround. I've heard people say, oh, not for hundreds of years will people, spirits turn around. Oh my gosh, don't talk to me. Don't tell me that, because I have people that turn around really, really fast, and I'm talking to a lot. So I think it's determinant on what necessary steps the soul needs to do to get where it wants to evolve to. And if they see a lifetime 100 years from now, so be it. But if I had unfortunately been a prisoner in a concentration camp, that was only 3 years before I was born when that war ended. So that's pretty quick. And children will return quicker if they leave as children. So I do find that I don't have the answers to everything. This is only my perception about talking to so many people, decades worth. And then the numbers of people I read is one thing. The groups and audiences I entertained is numerous. I would work for the Spirit of Grace for 15 years. And there are many Friday nights, like what we do is, well, I have up to 30 people and they all wanted a reading. So if you think about 30 people, 50 was the holidays. I mean, tens of thousands of people. And I will be talking about those on my channel when I get my show started. That's what I'll be talking about, everybody. There is a child with a past life memory of another location, another time. And it's a story of a young girl who fell down a staircase. And the family frantically, I can't imagine how terrible it is to lose a child. I don't even like think about it. I don't want you to. That over the decades, I've talked to many people who've had a situation. Anyway, this darling little girl, 3 or 4 years old, fell down the staircase. It rushed over to her. And not only is she not responding, it appears that she's dead. And they called the doctor up. He pronounces her dead. And they start the process of dressing her for viewing. And in the years that she was born, they used to do home viewings and funerals in the homes. That wasn't always done in the church. So they're getting the child ready. And all of a sudden, the little girl wakes up and sits up. And her name was Mrs. Dorothy Eddy, E-A-D-Y. And she is so well-renowned. So if you have a chance, look her up and her association with Egypt. A past life. I do believe that there was an unfortunate situation. And this little girl who was born was taken over by earlier personality. When we think about what I do for a living, how I can step in time and see something in the past, a lot of times people say, Nancy, I really want to know more about my uncle. I had one fellow write a book, and he sent me the book, and I had given him a lot of information about England where his relatives lived. And I said, go down the freeway south and then go west. And then I think there was one more turn. And right where I said it was, I said, there's a factory there that has something to do with textiles. And he found that. So I can sometimes enter time and go back. Now, if that's possible, why not have an accident where a person from the past can come forward? What I'm speaking to is I don't believe that everything in our whole life is categorized and put into this little mess of 4 pounds we have in our 2 pounds to 4 pounds in our brain. It just isn't what we, and I'm going to, here I go again, think about this. Someone told me, Nancy, they don't want to know how you do it. They just want the answers. Well, I think about this when I'm not talking to you. I believe that what we're looking at is quantum physics. If, and believe me, I do this all the time. I do predictions in the future, 20, 30 years. It's already happened. Some of the things I predicted 33 years ago. And if you think about that, how is that possible? I think that all the little sparkets of energy are only a trigger for a future event or a future time. So I brought this up because these kids are about ready to have their life begin. It was probably 2000. And these two little girls came, and they were a couple, and they wanted to know about their future. And I told them, and of course, anybody, kids, if anybody hears me talk about them, please let me know. I'd love to know what happened. And I told them I saw the girls retiring, so they'd probably stay a couple. And I saw a cabin in North Fork, Virginia, on the river, on the east side of the river, the northeast quadrant. And I described this place, and one little girl, these are darling little girls, and petite, and just like hugging kind. You want to hug them, right? And I described the grandfather's cabin. That was, she has a grandfather. And she said that he was going to give her the cabin when he passed away. And I saw them retire living there in 35 years from the time I talked to them. And it just happens. It just happens that where I described the cabin is where he has a cabin. And so I went past his death to their aging in 35 years to their living there. How is that possible? It's certainly not my brain. There is no book opening up in front of me. Especially when I talk to people in other cultures, I see, yes, I love you. I believe that our brain allows us to enter, sorry, this is Bud, enter a different, as Bud, a different wormhole phenomena that allows us to travel in space and time. We all do it. Every time you think about, how about you ladies, when you had a child or you got married or you had the vacation in your dreams, sit, relax, and visualize yourself there. I guarantee you, you can smell your dinner. I guarantee you can taste that drink again. And when you can, you are there in your mind. You have gone back in time to that moment, and you're a part of your body at that moment, recreating that dinner, that event. Absolutely. I had my first marriage was a high new mass wedding on benches, everybody. Catholic, big deal, big deal. You can't, you believe I can still feel that soft cushion underneath our feet. You know how you have to get up, the priestess in front of us and shall we live in the shower? And I can still go back and I can still feel that bench under my feet. I have to think about it. I can go there. It was a sunny day, June 17th of 67. And at that moment, I can go back. I could feel the silk satin dress I had on. Was it satin or silk? It was a thicker material and brocade, I think it's called. And at that time, that was a popular. It was thick and I can remember feeling it. Now, am I remembering it or am I accessing time to be able to experience it again? You better believe I've gone back. So Miss Eddie, she fell down the stairs and she started talking to her parents about her life and how she lived there. And she got so good at it that she became an archaeologist. And she also told the archaeologist, by the way, where's that garden? And some said, we don't know what you're talking about. And so she would go over and there was a garden. So they started really believing her. And she had some amazing, you need to look her up, Dorothy Edie. I believe she was in love with the pharaoh called Seti. Okay. And she did marry. She married an Egyptian when she was over there. She fell in love and she had a son and she called him Seti. So it's a whole lifetime. I'm going to get this wrong. I think she died in 72, or she was 72. Look her up, everybody. You will not be disappointed. I think I would talk. I had in the past year, I have had two clients say they were connected with the camps of World War II. That's why I brought it up. I talked of this earlier about the two people talked to me. One was like 8 or 9 months back, and the other one was probably 3 or 4. So either one of you hear me tonight, get in touch with me. I always love to know if someone's watching. And I'm trying to remember if I did a past life. I think so. I have the ability to do it in just a talk conversation. If someone wants a session with me, I can bring it up, and I've done that a lot of times. And for them to go back to the camps would probably be really tough. That's one reason I'm not looking into what I did. I don't know that's going to help me in this lifetime. You have to be discerning and see if that's something you really want to do. You risk seeing suffering and explore that life before tragedy if you go there before tragedy and see if you investigate this person's family for validation. That would be something that would be important. I have a friend who wants to write a book, and it's about two girls who witness their past lives in the camps, and they were able to find themselves. So that's kind of like really cool. They were just youngsters. But anyway, disturbing dream, client in 90 came. So client 93, 94 came, and she had been having a disturbing dream. And she felt it was Germany, and it's never stopped. So most of her life, this adult life, she has suffered living in the past in a future life. Ponder that for a second, everybody. So she'd sit down and put my mind to it. So when she started talking about her dream, I allow myself to become part of the energy of her traveling into the past. So the dream she's having is actually a, remember, time is folded in the past. She's actually entered space and time, and she's reliving that situation. Not only did I go there, I confirmed, because each dream had different information given to her. So I confirmed what the father looked like. I told her what the village looked like, the road that was. And here we have these roundabouts now, which I drive crazy. You go to intersections, no longer light, it makes you go in a circle. Hello, over and over. Well, the turn of century, it was very common for towns, the middle of town, to be just a circle. And you'd have sometimes a little gazebo where the band would play. So that's what I was seeing. And I was able to describe it. And this butcher shop where the family owned, they lived upstairs. And the staircase to the kids' bedroom, which was in the front, mom and dad were in the back, was one of these metal staircases going up. And she was a girl and she had a brother, and they shared this space in front on top, the second floor on top of the butcher shop. And I could see him as a very big man, and you can appreciate a t-shirt look with a big apron of not killing animals, but chopping them up. I mean, he was a very big guy, and she would lay in bed and hear him come up the stairs, and it was very disturbing to her. Now, I'm not going to imply anything, but if for her to be afraid of him to come upstairs, it implies something. And so we talked about it, and I says, okay, you have to release that, because what happened back there, it hasn't happened to you now, and you have to release it. And I cannot remember the words I said, because if it was very hard on her, this situation, why is she reliving it over and over and over in this lifetime? I could describe the village, but a butcher shop 100 years ago, for sure, was it Germany? She thought it was. Maybe it was Switzerland. Where was she going to be able to find it? So she had to resolve the idea that it was being brought forward, because she couldn't resolve the pain and suffering she might have gone through. So she probably had, and I apologize for not remembering exactly what I told her. But if you in the audience would click into me, you will see the visual I am talking about. because this is how it works. My mind has gone back to 93 into the visual for dream. That easy. Crazy. I love it. Are you kidding me? If you want to be a reader, please do so. I remember thinking that she didn't want to talk about the dream, but she did because it was not the only thing we talked about. And a lot of times when you do readings, what people are most needing the answer for is sometimes the last thing they'll bring up. They'll bring about up things that are not as dire, but at the last. And so she did, and we had to talk about it. I says, I want you to relax. Oh, thank you. Go home and relax and go back and soften the energy of the nights and block it from your mind and forget. I asked her for the little girl to forget, not her. And dreams will stop. And that's what she did. Thank you. How did I remember that? I'm just really quick in the, I think it was 97, 98. I had my first website in 95, 96, and this is how this fellow found me. And he lived in the Modesto, Stockton area. And so we talked for an hour and about 5 minutes before time ran out, because that's all he could afford. He just wanted an hour. He says, do you believe in UFOs? And I go, yes. He says, I have a problem. I go, what? He says, well, we have a farm and they keep landing in the backyard. And I go, really? Is that a problem? He says, I wouldn't mind, but they keep burning up the grass. And I says, really? He says, yeah, I don't know what to do about it. I says, first off, leave them alone. Secondly, you must have property they're interested in. And if they haven't hurt you by now, they never will, if they're that advanced. Okay. And he goes, oh, I didn't think of it like that. Just leave them alone. And I says, if you're worried about them digging it up, go back there and get a hoe and just dig it up. So if they have landed, the grasses won't catch fire. And I remember saying that. And I remember hanging up and thinking, I wish he'd start out with that. I'd love to explore it more. And if you're watching, please call me back. I would love to know what happened. Can you imagine the 96, 97? And here we're now getting into UFOs. It was just so innocent. Tell me that's not real. Tell me that we aren't being visited. When I get a client that says, oh, by the way, what would you do with the with UFOs landing and burning your yard up? Really? Oh, I would get a camera out. I want to go visit. I'd probably be down there looking at them. Yeah. Okay, so here's another one. So this a client of mine, this is not overseas, but it was interesting past life since I got a few of them here. So as a child, they went to a school trip and they went up to Donner and there's a busload. And this client of mine got out, and when she was in there, she got very distressed. And what made her even more distressed is she was very interested in knowing about this time, these people. And they have a big people not used to knowing what Donner Party passed over the oops from Nevada into California. They had to go through the pass at Donner Lake. And they picked the worst winter of ever, like 12 feet of snow, which happened in we did have it in, let's see, the early 70s, 72, 73, we had winter. I think it was 10 to 15 feet, 10 feet of snow that one year. So it does cycle. We do have winters like that. And the bus of kids got out. They were junior high, she said, were all rambunctious. And she was full of distress. She had to read everything, everything. And ever since then, she has felt the ordeal being personal. And I feel like we can go places and do things, but we feel we're part of that experience. We have forts, Sutter Fort, and not that I can say I live there, but I might have sometime in the way past lived like that because I felt very connected. And so it's also a reason for travel. If you have a chance to get out and about, if you experience something like that, say, oh, did I live here? So I already mentioned the Civil War. This is what I mentioned. I have a lot of stuff here, so I'll talk quick. Here's a another country experience. So my mother had a friend, and they both passed away. And she was a lot of money, difficult woman, excuse me. And my mom is more like I were easy to get along. And so the woman was taking my mother everywhere. And Mom didn't have the money for the travel, but the friend had the money and she needed my mother's friendship. And so they went to Italy. And being on a tour is really great for the first time. And the woman didn't want a tour. She'd been here before and she didn't need it. Mom said, "That's fine." Well, well, they got lost. They forgot where they were. And then all of a sudden, my mom says, "I know where I am." And the woman says, "What are you talking about? I've mentioned this probably
Oh.
2 or 3 months back." And mom says, "I think let's go this way." And they went through the town. This is the Vatican, everybody. In and out, in and out, in and out, or part of Italy and Vatican. And they turned this corner and there stood the Pope. Well, my mom was 100 pounds, 5'3", just a little tiny thing. And her friend was same kind of weight, but 5'6", 5'7". And so you got two old ladies coming around a corner looking right at the Pope. And then about 50 feet away, well, all his police entourage rushed up to my mother. She's like this, "Oh no." And he saw my mom, and my mother was just darling, darling, darling mom. And he came over to her and he took her hands and he smiled. And mom was just entrenched with him. And I do want to, he came to San Francisco in 1987. I did look it up. Pope Paul 22 arrives in San Francisco 1987. So there's a video out on that. That was when my mom, anyway, so. He came over and they
What's
left.
wrong?
And so my mother's friend lived in the Sacramento area. And she came to visit my mom and they were going to go shopping. And there was a tremendous amount of people in San Francisco, a lot of police service and everything. And they didn't know what was going on. So mom said, "Well, why don't we walk to where we're going?" And my mother was a great walker. It didn't faze her that she was going to walk them down the hills. And they walked this way, that way. Guess what happened? They turned the corner and there was the Pope, the same one
Wow.
that they had
Wow.
seen in Italy. He recognized my, listen, if you saw a picture of my mother as she got a little older, she was just darling. A little tiny thing, not like me. I got the looks of the Indian. My mother was the English side, very petite, beautiful, black eyes and hair, Indian coloring, but and it got light brown. It was, but anyway, I know, Mom, I'm flattering you. Anyway, they turned the corner and here was the same Pope, right? How many times will that
Wow.
happen? And it was been the story in the family that he recognized my mom. He came over, he took her hands, he looked at her eyes, and she grinned. And I says, "Mom, tell me how did that happen?" And she said, and she believed in past life. She says, "We were meant to connect again." She said, "There are no mistakes for her to run into him in the first place, and
Right.
for the entourage not to tap my mother to the ground." Like I said, she's darling. And he come over and he looked at her so sweetly. And then if you're hooked into me, you can see what I'm seeing. Oh, it just makes me cry. It's one wonderful stories. Well, I already mentioned the so one of the ladies I talked about before, two ladies I talked to about World War II. Very difficult. If you're listening, please give me a call. Who saw
This
in the
is so
South
not
in
my
the
day.
camp as a woman who was sent to the gas chambers. So her last memories that she's picking up is her walking into the gas chamber. Terrible, terrible. I have a client named Sue, and I'll be writing about Sue and her son. And she, in a past life, was being killed by her father. And she was walking down a slope. And the father would
Oh,
picked up
bug
a rock or boulder. I can hear you, honey, talking. You're mumbling. Anyway, so this was in what we call the 1,000 years ago in Japan. And she was of a wealthier family. And she had all the Japanese wraparound outfits on, very high expense kimono with the shoes that were wooden. And location was not something we know, but Sue, I told Sue about this death by her father in Japan, and I didn't want to say it. I wanted to say it in such a way there was a conflict in the family, and you died by the hands of your father, whatever, whatever. And the moment I said that, I went, "Oh my gosh!" So anyway, so I'll keep going. I got a lot to talk about. So she yelled and she says, "Oh, that explains why I don't like Japanese men." I go, "Okay." I love Japanese furniture. And then she goes to tell me she has furniture of the Japanese style in her house, just as we're talking about. So the interest in that style, but not Japanese men. Now, same thing happened to me. I was living in Tucson, Arizona, and I wanted furniture. And I was so compelled to buy wooden furniture, but French style. So I put dollars out for French furniture and a couple chairs, a table, and a love seat. And it's very French. And I thought, what am I doing that for? It just came over me. And then shortly after that, I had a vision of a French house in the town, in the downtown part, like three stories, with bump out windows, a flat top with bump out windows on the top. And it was a blue gray, deeper blue gray color, darker. And then after that, I had another flash of me being a man with balloon type of clothing, silky blue with white socks on, and then shoes. And at the time of his life, the toe curled up a little bit. Now, that's an influence, positive, confusing to me. I have personally no interest in France at all. Maybe I hit the maybe I was part of the got my head lopped off if I was of a better family. So that can also, how many of you have purchased furniture of a style you're not really choosing, but you feel compelled to? So in some ways, I think that past lives influence us much more than we realize. With my husband, when we live in Tucson, in Sierra Vista, for a while there, he got overwhelmed by buying the heavy leather furniture with the buttons on it. He had very heavy, and here I had French furniture in the front room. And you go back to his, we still got, we go back into the family room, and my husband had this big, heavy wooden furniture with leather seat and the buttons, you know, the kind Indian blankets patterns. Let's see here. I want to make sure I was going to talk about this. So I may go back. Yeah, it's
Take
been
your
quite a
time. You
night.
know
I
what?
want to make, okay, so I'm going to talk about Linda, and I did ask permission. She wrote a book, and I want to bring it up. Wonderful. This is a client I met probably 2001. And I've gotten to know Linda and really respect her and enjoy her company. She has a tech mind. She was in a tech business. And when she came to me, it was in regard to a relationship. And then it progressed for her to talk to me about, is it possible she ever meet her pop star? And over the decades, I have met ladies and gentlemen who fall in love with pop stars, and they want to know if they're going to meet them. And I had one lady that went to WWF all the time. Now it's WWE, I think. And she was actually in love with a wrestler. I never saw it, but I saw them locking eyes a couple of times. And to me, that would be enough. It was a past life connection. I do believe that the fella, I think he was a redheaded guy. Or was she? I think it was him. And it might be just to acknowledge each other. Sometimes it's not meant to happen. So she was telling me of this great affection for this rock star. And I said, well, where is he? And she said, England. And I go, okay. And I'm not going to tell you the band unless you want to know, you have to read her book. But she was greatly influenced by this gentleman. She really wanted to, and he would do what you call the circuit, just like Taylor Swift has done in different countries. And he came to the United States and he would tour four or five states. And she actually flew and would go to the concerts in different states. And it just was never going to happen because once you get here, it'd be like the Beatles, the entourage around the celebrity would be so tight, she could never get close. And it was like a longing, like, and I know we've all had crushes. I was a Beatles girl. I loved the Beatles. I never had that kind of a crush, but then my friend was in love with Elvis Presley. And I remember talking to her about that. I think for me, it was the group. There was not one individual. For her, it was Elvis. And she would get absolutely overwhelmed by the idea of seeing Elvis on TV screen or interview or whatever happened. So with Linda, we talked greatly about this, and she tried to date, and she got very frustrated. And we even, I can't remember Exactly, because it's been so long. Was she in love with this fella in England, pop star, to such a place that maybe she wouldn't open her heart to anybody else while here? Very curious. And she'll have to tell me, I know she'll watch this if I remember this right. But anyway, in all of her dating, somehow she met up with a fella. Turns out he's English, English accent. It was almost like the universe said, we want you interested in this pop star. So when Steve comes by, you'll recognize him and you'll see him as the Englishman that the universe is wanting you to pay attention to. It was instant with them. They were just a perfect match. And we did think about how is this that if she had been involved with a rock star in England, would she not paid attention to the Englishman with the English accent? They did get married and they did go to England. In all of this, she wrote about, and the reason I bring it up because I just adore her, she did write a book about her spirit guides and a love connection that she wrote about. And in the book, she has artwork of what she sent to the rock star. So you probably would really enjoy it. It is on Kindle, it is on Amazon, and it's called My Affair with an Angel. And the line under the title would be My Affair with an Angel. Look it up. I read it. It's a bigger book, has a lot of artwork that was given to the rock star. My transcendental romance led to true love in the real world. It's really good. Yeah. So look it up. Linda Arkell, Arkle. My Affair with an Angel. I looked it up today. I was going to have Shar put it on in this subtitle. I don't know if she got to it. This next one was a profound dream. Don't know where it is for sure. And that's why I kind of clued it, because sometimes we can't find where our life was. Of the era that we talked about, could have been anywhere in the world. And this is a young man who came in the early 90s. And he was a salesperson. He traveled. And in his travels, he would go to places, what we call open fields. And because of that, it triggered memories. And he started having dreams of what you have you traveled where there's farms and they cut down crops, and then you're left with a stalk of something, maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet tall. And usually it goes brown by the end of summer. That's what he saw in the stream. And he would tell me that he had it a lot, often. And in the dream, you can visualize a shack big enough for a bedroom, a kitchen, a little area in the front, very small. I would say 20 by 20 or 30, just. And the porch would be would bring it out with a platform underneath out the front door with two poles coming down to hold the thing up. And he sees himself on the porch and his mother's out there with him. And she stands up, and anybody, think of what I'm talking about, go to me. And you can see the dream, because when he talked about it, I could step into it. And I can describe the dark-haired mother. And it looked like the 1930s dress. It could have been the Great Depression. It could have been, what was that called with the Dust Bowl era? She has a plain colored strap and down dress. She's very thin, dark hair, shorter. I can't assume it's America. We don't know where it is, but it was impactful because I haven't finished the story. And she gets up out of her chair and she goes into the house. He sits there quiet. And then she comes out for him and she gets his hand and she takes him into the house. He is remembering that he had a sister in that lifetime. And he says, when she takes me into the house, that's the end of my life. That's where my life ended, that time frame. And I said, you know what that means. That life was so terrible. So she was so destitute that to have you struggle, it was easier to take your life than to have you go on, because she was probably at the end of her life, or her struggles were so difficult. I can't assume I know the story. But the visual he gave me of her being so thin, like I wouldn't say skeletal, but she was going to starve to death, it looked like, or whatever. And women of that period, children, they would go without eating to make sure the child would eat. But there's a point when your body can't take anymore. And so I have to be sensitive to that. And then he mentioned his sister in his lifetime, how close they are. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Had you ever thought about talking to your sister about this dream? Guess what happened? He went right home and asked her, guess what? She's been having nightmares her entire life of being in a hutch, mother coming in and killing her. Goosebumps, everybody. Goosebumps. It's emotional to me because I can't imagine the trauma the mother must have gone to, let alone the children. So he calls back and says, I'd like to come back. I said, fine. Guess who he brings? Sister. And she's had the same dream. His dream was awakened by the visual of the same landscape. Don't know where it is. I'm not sure, Char. Did when we went through the Great Depression, I don't think it affected other countries. The Dust Bowl could have been that era also. What did the rest of the world go through? I can't answer that. But at the same time, the trauma could have been of any country for any situation. In this lifetime, I cannot remember how the conversation went. I remember sitting there, and the sister in this lifetime is older. Feels like she's older. Also brown haired, like was then. Funny how come I can see things like that, and I can't remember. Did I take my pills this morning? I can't remember, but I can go back and remember someone's dream and a living person in the 1992, 93, and they have dark hair, heavy dark hair. Gosh, these kids need to get touch me. I'd love to see them again. So sometimes when you have something like that, you have to go back and say it's okay. But this is where it gets interesting. So then he continues his job, and he was in Northern California. And of course, we have Corning, we have Red Bluff, we have a lot of areas in Northern California driving and businesses. And he was always off the road. A lot of farming in Northern California. So he's going down a very similar area, and he pa passes a house that's clearly in disarray, vacant, probably not lived in 50 years, right? I don't know. And then he sees the mailbox, and past the mailbox, he sees a little girl in a white dress. And he slows down. And he says, "Are you okay?" And she says, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm waiting." He says, "Okay," and he drives off. And he's about a half a mile down the road. And he says, "Waiting for what? There's nothing out here. There's no bus going to come by. There's nothing here." And she's in a nightgown. So he travels another half a mile. And he turns around 5 minutes, and he comes up to the mailbox. And he went, "Wait a minute. I should have passed her by now." She wasn't anywhere. And he called me, and he just couldn't believe. He says, "I saw a ghost." And "Are you sure?" And he says, "Well, the fencing that was up, though old, was not broken." And so you think of a chicken wire fence, they had it back then, or it was a newer fence, but little holes, a little, 7 or 8 year old girl couldn't get through it. And was a child like that being out on the road by herself in a nightgown, white nightgown? Well, how many decades I've been telling people what children do usually. Not as, I don't think she's spirit, she might have evolved to become a ghost. Is they will visualize themselves and remember how they looked in the coffin. So I will see death of children, and oftentimes they'll be what they wore when they saw themselves last. Or they'll remember themselves, not the coffin, but what they saw of themselves before they went into a coma to die. Nightgowns. A lot of times, kids and little girls would be in their nightgowns. And this was a very white, ruffly little nightgown. So they loved her a lot. They put better clothes on her. And he was absolutely, so he passed the spot and then the mailbox, and then he got to the house and he went, "Oh my gosh." So if Corey is listening to this, I'm telling you a story, honey. Give me a call. Amazing, amazing that we have these things happen to us. And that triggers, like the dream and the sister, go back and forgive your mother. Have a, in some ways, pull yourself into that frame. That it opens up pathways for you to allow your mind to accept other paranormal activity. And that's important. And like I said, I got into this. I was born with this condition and saw my dead father when I was six after he was killed before we moved to Northern California. And my mother didn't approve, but when it finally came surface again, in high school, and all these things, I pushed it away. I didn't want it. And when I finally allowed myself to explore this, it was after cancer, after divorce, and the search for the reason why bad things happen to good people. We all have gone through terrible times and wonder, what is that about? Why am I suffering? Well, the suffering was to get me to get here. And if I can say to you, even at my age, I really love this. I love the exploring of memories, the exploring of past lives, the interest that people show me. And I say to them, okay, you think it's amazing. Oh, past life. Wow, that's amazing. Or, well, maybe I could accept it. All the things that I can do, and you witness these stories and things, it's not a big deal. I call myself a newspaper reporter. And that's all I do is reporting the news to you. And you go to a place and I say to you, if I can do this and this is possible, why can't we survive our death? Why do we think this is all? And why do we take life so hard? This is an experience, everybody, and it's amazing. No, it's not easy. I'm suffering. I'm suffering with some arthritic now. I went on a vacation. I come back broken because I had to haul a suitcase around airport, two different airports, San Francisco and New York, Boston. I tell you, it's been 3 weeks and I'm still hurting. Hello. That's what happens, you get older. And it is still amazing because I can still breathe. The fan is on, the cat's live, oop, cat's gone. But every day, even if it's the hardest day in the world to you pull one thing out. By the end of the day, you can say, I love my cat. The rest of the day didn't go good, but I love my cat. Do that because that's all that matters. And when you end this life and you go, and the people say, well, what did you get out of this life? Did you like it? You may say, well, it was the one hard, one difficult, double the but I discovered ice cream. Ta-da. And at my age, I've discovered ice cream. I never liked ice cream before. There was a flavor I do like, it's coffee. And every about once every couple of months, I'll treat myself to coffee ice cream. So the boy with the ghost, that was one reason I wanted to bring him up because of the experience with being killed. I want to, okay. Well, I didn't tell the story. Oh, children with birthmarks talked about and start talking sooner about the mole that I had on my chest and my sister. But there's such a thing as unexplained birthmarks. Like a there was a little boy that talked about a past life, and he talked about someone hitting him in the head with a hand, axe. Well, where the man hit him with the axe in that past life, in this lifetime he has no hair growing there. And you'll see all kinds of strange things on children. There was a wonderful story about a family that lost two children, two girls, and it was a it's in the papers. It just spontaneously popped into my head. Well, these two little girls were lost, and the mother a couple of years later got pregnant. And guess what? She had twin girls, and the twin girls started talking about a past life of being the other set of girls. And you have to look at these kids being born, and they have unusual birthmarks, or they have a line. One was talking about a child that had a problem with one of the fingers and died. Well, the next child they had came into this life with a crooked finger. The little finger, the baby finger was crooked. And that prior life, he had something wrong with the finger, couldn't use it. So we will bring forward those things that can happen to our bodies. I find that kind of thing very interesting. So I've written here, children may have birthmarks and other congenital physical traits linking them to previous incarnations. There were demonstrations of foreign languages unlearned in present life. So you'll hear about families say, my child is learning, is talking a foreign language. And then they'll take a job. Well, you know, they're talking Yugoslavian, or they're talking something from Russia or Chinese something. And you go, well, wait a minute, we don't speak that in this lifetime. Well, hello, get a tape recorder out. I am a firm believer that if you have something going on, children speak, tape record their voices. Tape record the voices of our most senior people. Because one thing I've noticed that's missing of my mother is we first thing we do is we forget what they sound like. Get those stories and line them out. Keep their drawings. The best way to get a child to talk about past life is a very innocent environment, like having tea with cookies. Tell me of the before time. Or your coloring and say, can you tell me a story while you're drawing? Let them tell you a story. You'd be surprised what kind of interesting things you have. One of the talks I had given in Theater in the Round was Madison Avenue and Highway 80. Oh my gosh, this is 25 years ago. And the woman that sponsored me was three talks. It was the convention center. Oh my gosh. And I can't remember. She was a promoter of big events, and she promoted me in these big Theater in the Round. And one fella came in, and we were talking about reincarnation, and he was way up at the top to my left, Caucasian, heavier bodied. And he told me in the group, and he says, I've had a stomach problem my entire life, and it's been very difficult. Do you have an answer for me? Oh, my gosh. You see me do this, scare you, right? All of a sudden, I was a fella like a gladiator, and I had armor on, and I had this huge sword. And I said, in the past life, you killed a sword, and I pull, you should see me. I know you can't see the screen. I pulled back my arm, and I stabbed him, right? And the audience went, oh, Nancy, what you, well, you know what that guy did? He fell back because he felt, he said he felt the blade go into him. I said, you can let that go now. You know why? Because it was that lifetime that you were killed. That injury you've never gotten over. And you, in some way, you brought that injury forward, this death blow. I would love to have him call me. If you're listening to this, I'd want to know what happened. I see these people, I do these talks, and they never get back to me. Rarely do I get validated. Well, you know what? I did get over that. The little boy, the 14, 15-year-old that I told you about a couple of weeks back, about the boy in Placerville, California. And that was a group in a mining town. Char brought it up. No, that was it was a different building, but it also had a mine underneath. About him dying in the belly of a big ship, and the hands were bobbing, were pushing the big boxes away from his face. And how I told him, I said, if you told me you're afraid of close quarters and of shower or bathtub, of the dark with water around you, I wouldn't be surprised. The mother jumped up and she says, oh my God, I can't ever get him this. And I said, you died in the belly of a big ship. It's dark. The water is filling the inside of the ship up. There's big boxes and it's banging against you. Let that go. That was a long time ago. And then the woman says to me, you know, he's an Olympic swimmer. He can swim Olympic pools, but he cannot take a shower. That's a past life intrusion I've ever heard. And that is what we are up against sometimes. Sometimes the phobias you think, well, I'm just making this up, aren't I? No, I'm not. The phobias that you're suffering today could be a past life memory that you haven't let go, or a situation that you couldn't let go, or a death that you can't let go. This is the time you sit down and you say, I'd like to know what that was about. Relax, nice chair, sit back, you are safe. You're not going anywhere. That past life can't kill you. If you want more, yeah, give me a call. But I'm not, I'm, you can, sure, but you can do it yourself. And that's what I'm promoting. We can get our answers. That was really amazing. And I have all these on VHF tapes. I'd sure like to find that one. VH player I need to have, right? And so on YouTube, these are all my stories. I did not take them from YouTube or anywhere, but I did get a link, Past Life Memories of Foreign Countries. Past Life Memories of Foreign Countries, YouTube. And so type that in, see what comes up. And I must have found one. Okay, I wouldn't have mentioned it. Okay, well, that is tonight's talk. I hope you all enjoy. Y'all, yeah. I did have a life in the Deep South, and I do slip back into that once in a while. Hi, Jerry. You did. You know, I'm on Thursday nights, and regular peoples didn't show up. So that's how we deal with past life intrusions. I hope I entertained you and you learned something from me. Okay. Shard, take over.
Assuming I can finish the show without something going wrong. I apologize, you guys. This was my error. That's what happens when you start messing with wires. I didn't even notice, you know, because, you know, there's a little icon down there that tells me if the power's on and if it's charging. I didn't even notice the icon was clear. So it wasn't charging at all.
So we've been on this, so it could lost power, right?
Yeah, so it lost power. Mm. Then it came back up just long enough for Microsoft to decide to put an update on. And so it was a big update. So I'm moving stuff over to my phone.
Oh, which geez.
What the double screen was, I had gotten my phone up and I was on the phone. Then I had the headset for the phone, which I only use on Sundays, right? And it wasn't charged up. So I'm watching Nancy do her thing, and all of a sudden, you're disconnected. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. So then that's why I had to dive in behind.
I was disconnected, or you were?
I was disconnected.
You're the one disappeared.
I couldn't hear anything because the headset died on top of it all. So then that's when I looked at, that's when I said, hey, I'm going to dive down under here and see what's going on. And yeah,
you
the computer
did.
Was unplugged.
For RSS belief, RSS
so
people, he did dive.
I had to dive back behind everything to get everything hooked up again. I apologize. Like I said, I'm doing another show. I'm doing another thing every night at 10 o'clock, and I've been messing around, moving wires around and stuff, so I must have loosened the wire out of the terminal box thing for the laptop. I didn't realize it. It's amazing it stayed on, because I've been on the laptop since 4 p.m. today, so I mean, it lasted a long time. The battery did before it died. So it's just one of those days. I'm glad to be out of it, but I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Tomorrow, I promise, no screw-ups, no mishaps. And I thought maybe that, you know, because I've been having trouble, as you guys know, I've been having issues with memory on this laptop. So when it went down, I thought, oh my God, it finally died. I finally lost the laptop. That was it, you know. And then I got it back up, and then it went down again, and then it popped back up with Microsoft doing
the
installs.
So what computer sounds? I'm a little confused. If we're using the laptop, how come I was able to stay on?
Because once StreamYard starts, it stays on automatically. StreamYard keeps the show on.
Oh.
And so you were able to stay on, which means you filled the whole screen for everybody. They saw a whole lot of Nancy. And, you know, it's just one of those things. And what got me is I didn't know what you could see, because even after it shut down the first time, the camera was still on.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm frantically going, okay, what's going on? You know, then it popped back up, like I said. Then it finally died again. And that's what I thought. I thought, well, it finally happened. This thing finally committed suicide. And it's gone. And then it popped up, and then all of a sudden, and I'm glad you guys couldn't hear what I said when the Microsoft update just started going. And I thought, oh, you dirty.
We were hearing you. We could hear you humming and making noises. Yeah.
At
least tonight, I'm very forgiving. Tomorrow night would have been more difficult. Yeah.
God, yeah. The timing is everything.
Make sure everybody you're listening tonight, give us a thumbs up.
Yeah, give us a thumbs
and,
up.
And
it was hell. It was a good show, but it was pure hell. Oh, Pamela's here. Hang on. Pamela's got comments. Hey,
go to my channel, everybody. Nancy Matt Psychic, and sign up as a subscriber, because I'll be getting my show started. As with Char, getting everything together and getting it lined up takes more time than I thought. I am writing two books.
Yeah? Two books you're writing right
Go
now?
Go ahead.
Just remember, there's a bloopers reel coming out. And did you see that too? Right after I got set up, this thing somehow got broken. And so happened the other night, where I went to make an adjustment and the mic came off. And so I was holding the mic. So right after I got back on and I was making adjustments, if you notice, the mic came off again. So I have to be really careful and be aware of that. It's just been one of those couple days, you guys. If Nancy's writing two books, that's huge. I'm working on a couple of ebooks.
Well,
I've
been writing one without realizing it. I was putting all the notes together, and Karen Rothstein and I. She's a therapist in the Roseville. She has the Roseville office, and I've been coming across all these. It's all lined out. I have to just put it together. And then the other one will be all these shows. These are all being written up. So I just realized about a month back, I went, wait a minute. And these are not the eight that I was lined out already.
Right.
And so it's kind of crazy. Right. I tell God, I says, I would work for you, but make sure I stay alive long enough to write all these, because they're all wonderful. I just could give you a great big old list. The Ghostly Wife is one that I'm really wanting to do. And it's about a man who loves a woman. And I'll just leave it at that. Let you hang out there. I love it. I love
Okay.
it. Okay, everybody.
Okay, just a quick warning. Honestly, if you're watching from if you came over here from TikTok to watch today, it's late. It's 8 o'clock. I usually have dinner after the show, but I'm gonna have to do some editing on. Well, I'm just gonna leave it. You know what? I'm just not even gonna go there. I'm gonna send it out the RSS. But I'm gonna make dinner and get my feed my dogs and stuff. So I'll probably be on around 10:30, 11 o'clock, unless I'm too tired or something to be on tonight. But I will try to get on TikTok tonight for the for my for the, that regular show over there. So just bear with me. It's just been one of those days, and I'm glad it's done. Hopefully I can rectify. One thing too, with all the wires that I have running for plugs and everything in here, that I
Yes.
get them cleaned up. It's remember those old phone cords from your wall phone?
Yep, I
And no matter what you did, that they would tangle and curl. It's just no matter what you did with them, right?
Oh, you're talking about the yes, I remember.
Well, with these things, with what I got going here, I
Handheld.
only have like four or five going around here, to plug things in. But you got to remember, I got USB stuff going down for the lights. So no matter what I do, I clean it up, and like 2 days later, it looks like a rat's nest, and then I have to do it all over again. And that's what happened is it's become a it, yeah, it's just doing that.
That's one thing that worries me about all my electronic. I got two stations and all the, all that is all the cords. And I have two cats. Luckily, they haven't discovered to chew them up yet. If anybody starts chewing up things, I wouldn't know what how to deal with it,
Oh, it's
so.
crazy. Just like this, when the laptop went down, I was touching the cord, thinking, well, maybe it's unplugged up here or something. Something got moved, and then it finally dawned on me when it came back up, when it said it only had 16% power. That's why I had to. I was getting nervous when you were talking, when I was on my phone over here, because you said, well, I've got a lot more to do, and I thought, oh my God, I'm at 16% power. I got to figure out what the heck's going on, because the computer's going to go down again.
If I
And
didn't
then I'll
cover
be
everything,
dealing with that,
so we could.
but we can
So I
continue
was
this
going to
next
suggest,
Friday.
and I'll just put it out there. Next week will be a catch up. I'm going to talk to Char what we'll name it, because I have a ghost things to talk about. I have an article from Tombstone about a ghost story. So tomorrow, next Friday night, we'll call the show "Catch Up Talking to the Paranormal."
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
Something
so
along that
we'll look
line.
forward to seeing you next week, everybody.
Nancy will be back in her usual time on Friday. Like I said in the beginning, the guest tomorrow has to do with, in fact, I'm going to do it right now. Marianne, I gotta remember her name, I can't read my writing now. Anyway, Marianne and Dave are coming to join me. They're police officers. And they have a special thing like MUFON that they do. Only they work with other police officers to help them process and investigate UFO sightings of people. So it's kind of cool. And that kind of goes along with that show that I want to do on Saturdays, where we're going to be talking about, ghostly campfire stories. And it's going to focus on law enforcement and 911 and nurses and people like that. So I'm trying, I want to get them on the day they want, because I want to talk to them about helping me out with that show a little bit with stories and things like that.
And where these
So
police people live? What state?
Arizona.
Okay. A lot of
So it
activity in
should be,
Arizona for sure.
yeah. So it should be interesting, and hopefully it can lead into that other thing I want to do. Also, quick announcement about that. We are going to premiere that show, and it's coming up. And what I decided to do, since Halloween's coming, right? Halloween's right around the corner. So what I decided to do was that premiere is going to be a special, all right? So that's going to be one of it's going to be a Halloween special kind of thing. And so it's going to be a private room over on YouTube for whoever wants to come in, $15 per person. And you can ask all the questions you want, say, anything you want during that thing. But I'm going to be launching that show over on YouTube, and it's going to be a Halloween event. So come on over there, and
So what
I'll.
you're talking about is you're having a presentation on prior to Halloween, talking about paranormal and ghost things.
It's going to be ghost stories by the fireside. So we're going to go ahead and do that, and that's that premiere is going to be a paper. Now, if you're over on the Patreon and you're already a member of the Patreon, you don't have to pay. That's a perk of the Patreon, that show. So you don't have to pay. Those guys don't have to pay for this. But we are going to open it up to public, and we're going to do it as a Halloween event. So be on the lookout for that. I've been meaning to get that together, but I haven't been feeling good. So I'm finally coming out of, you know, whatever was ailing me. So I'm going to jump on that maybe tonight. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, I'm going to shut up now. I made all my announcements. I'll see you guys at 6:30 p.m. Pacific tomorrow with a working computer. It's funny because a year ago or 2 years ago, if that had happened, I would have been in sheer panic. But this time it was like, okay, what's going on? All right, so I'll see you guys tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Have a great evening. Law enforcement and UFOs tomorrow. So see you there and pleasant dreams, guys. Oh, Nancy, how do people find you?
Good night, everybody.
I forgot all about it. How do people find you?
I have a couple websites, nancymatz.com, nancymatzauthor.com. YouTube is Nancy Matz Psychic. And go and subscribe, everybody. I'll be starting my shows pretty soon.
Yep,
but not in conflict with Sharby, totally different topics.
I bet her computer will work, too. Okay. All right, guys. Have a great evening. I will see you tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. I promise you, no bloopers. Have a great one.